Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to The Naked Truth, hosted by me, Lori Corrigan, and sponsored by Snake Charmer Men's Body Waxing. This show is all about nakedness, spiritual, emotional, mental. It's where I pay tribute to the valuable contributions you gentlemen make, both personally and professionally. It's also a safe zone for you guys to speak your minds amidst this current social climate where you struggle to be heard. Today, we're taking a bright light on the concern over online behemoths casting brick-and-mortar businesses into the dinosaur tar pit, which has spawned a niche industry to prevent that potential reality. There's always a good aftermath to something that's considered bad. So sharing the microphone with me today is Eric Kioski-Smith and Mike Curio of Hound, whose primary focus is to effortlessly drive sustainable foot traffic that brick-and-mortar companies need to grow. Welcome, gentlemen.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Excited to be here.
Very, very happy to show everyone verbally what you guys are doing to help the micros to the smalls to big business and the franchises as well. Why are we running scared with Amazon? Give us a quick synopsis.
Well, first off, to put naked and dinosaurs in the same paragraph was pretty unique here. So looking at Amazon, they are consuming the earth. I don't think their concept is bad. I don't think they're naturally an evil company. But if I'm a business out there competing with them, it's getting harder and harder. They own the data. They own distribution. They control your brand. They ship stuff. And they're even getting into medicine. So they're really going to be invading our lives pretty severely. And it's hard to think about competing if I'm a small business.
Yeah, so I would agree. It's as we kind of watch the evolution of Amazon Go, right? It's one thing you kind of look at it. There's a lot of frustrating aspects when you have a company like that that has the reach that they do. But then, you know, at the same time, so many businesses even rely on them, right? So it's this little kind of back and forth where even a lot of small businesses rely on them for their deliveries, for things to come in. So what does that balance look like? And then how do small businesses compete in a space where you can't necessarily compete with I can deliver something today, right? I can get it straight to your door. So there's these kind of barriers that Amazon's trying to create, these kind of barriers to entry for other businesses, trying to keep them out. So now they control the distribution chain. They control delivery, right? They control all of these different things, the warehouses and distribution. I think it's time to look kind of critically at what are the things that small businesses can do to stay competitive in the landscape? What are the tweaks that they can make to really stay as competitive as possible? And I do think that there are things that we can do.
So hearkening back to, what is it now, 30, 40 years, even more, when Walmart was the behemoth,
Yeah. The
big box stores, mom and pops were just being closed right and left. How is that different? How are you going after this differently now with technology? And is technology the change maker for you guys?
I think technology is a change maker. Keep in mind, Walmart has been around 40, 50, 60 years, and many of these businesses are still thriving. And just as an interesting twist, Walmart themselves are now the biggest grocery chain in the country, which is extraordinary. I think technology absolutely can be used to your advantage, but if you just focus on technology, you're now playing Amazon's game. So I think we'll talk about a couple ideas about ways you can do things they can't because they are so technologically bound.
Does that have to do with creating good problems? Is that a tie-in for you to go into that little tip sheet on how to?
Yeah. So I think that there is. So Hound's mission is to create good problems for small business owners, right? So good problems is more customers than you can handle, right? Good customers is you have to go out and hire some more staff because of the influx of customers that are coming in the door, right? So we all know what good problems are. That is ultimately what our goal is. I think the competing with the Amazons, it is like to Eric's point, it's a bit of a balance. There's a balance between the level of personalized service that a small business can give that Amazon just can't. But at the same time, on the technology side, there's this level of personalization that because of big data, Amazon's able to provide that a lot of small business owners aren't. But I do think that is one of the biggest places that, as a small business owner, that if you want to begin to kind of future-proof your marketing efforts and really start moving in the right direction, it's focusing around data and personalization, even on the small levels that we're able to do it as small business owners. You may not be able to have the homepage that pops up and it's right. Everything on your Amazon homepage is curated really for what it is that you're looking for, right? It's unusual when something shows up on there that isn't relevant for you. But us as small business owners, we can actually do a lot of that same thing by collecting the right amount of customer data and then utilizing that data in the right ways to provide personalization. I think that's one of the technology areas that we're able to do that.
That's a really cool point you make about having it so finitely tuned to what you've already purchased or what you've looked at. For example, YouTube and Groupon, they doesn't matter random what you might have been searching for a restaurant. Speaking personally, my waxing YouTube video shows up in places people contact me and say, I don't know how this fell over my radar. I have a wax from start to finish of a male Brazilian for educational purposes and to calm clients down before they come in. I, since January, have 3 million hits on it.
Wow.
It was just for analytics. So it's curious why Amazon doesn't branch out a bit. Wouldn't that increase their sales if they were to do that? And how is that associated with the approach, the wide approach of a small business to reach the target market? Because Amazon's target market is the whole entire planet.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the reach, do you advocate a short, finite reach to get a certain market or a broader?
Yeah, I think in marketing, in any type of marketing, one of the mistakes people generally make is you start to think that if I get too specific in my branding, too specific in my marketing to one particular demographic, that I'm going to be leaving business on the table, right? What if I don't call out on my website every single service that I do? If I don't, you know, if I don't make it available, make sure everybody knows that I do everything. But the problem is if you say that you do everything, nobody thinks of you for anything, right? So you have to get specific in what that messaging is. And you yourself have done that really, really well, right? You found your target demographic, and you've built all of your messaging around that. Now, you could argue, okay, are you going to leave some business on the table? But really what you're going to do is good marketing just creates a beacon to attract the customers to you. So when you build that messaging, the right messaging and the right brand, that sits out there, and that's going to draw people in. And I think that that's one of the things, because when you look at small business owners, the benefit that you have as a small business owner in creating a YouTube video, right, that goes and you get 3 million is because you're agile. You have the ability to make those types of moves and those pivots. You know your customer base on a level that Amazon can only look at from a data standpoint, right? You're just a data point for them, but you're dealing with humans, right? And that's a whole different thing. So in the way that you speak right to your audience, the way that you're able to pivot and change your messaging, change your marketing, do something exciting like putting a video out like that, that would take 2 years to get approval of red tape at any decent-sized corporation, mm-hmm. you're able to pivot and do. So I think that is a strong advantage that small business owners have in their back pocket.
Eric, is there a big difference in marketing personal services as opposed to a product?
That's a great question. I think it's just going to be yes and no in the end. Focusing on your brand is crucial. And one thing Amazon doesn't do well is help you control and maintain your brand, nor does Yelp. You know, in your world, Yelp is pretty crucial, probably even more
no,
so.
No. I've gravitated away because of it's not a good fit. And it's not a good fit for a lot of micros and smalls because there are a lot of internal practices they have, which we will not get to here, that run counter to what the small business is trying to do, and that's be successful.
Well, that's it leads right into my point when it comes to personal services. There are many, many places to go have dialogues with consumers out there. I think you still have to control your data. You have to, if you're on Yelp, make sure you own your data. Check it frequently to make sure it's accurate. We actually recently done a partnership with the Better Business Bureau. It turns out they're actually massive still in this country, have the biggest database of businesses. And have you checked your Better Business Bureau listing to see about opening times and what you do and are you accredited, et cetera? Sorry, I just still had this image of your YouTube video and the 40-year-old virgin and men screaming, so I'm getting over that one.
Eric, I was just proud of you for signing up to do that, is all.
We need to say that it is not anything of what you just said.
Oh, good.
You will just undo 5 years of what I've done.
I'm sorry.
Okay, so my video is showing no blood, no guts, no screaming. In fact, the belly lift that you see on him is laughing. We were laughing, so I had to take the sound off. There's no hidden anything.
All right. Just want to make sure.
Proceed.
Thank you. If you can see through the radio, my face is red right now. I think services and products, they both lend themselves, and I think for owner-controlled businesses, to incredible creativity that you just have to get outside of your space a little bit and the ideas will flow. I love what you've done when it comes to focusing just in a very narrow niche. I agree strongly with Mike. It's a way to go deep. But then there's a point where you can say, now I can start to add other components to that. I've got just a litany of ideas for retail stores. If you walk down Old Town Scottsdale, besides the fact that there were way too many of the same type of stores mm-hmm. pre-recession, now you're starting to see a lot of creativity come into place and the kind of store that's in there, the kind of focus they're having. But they still have so much more they can do. There's a great restaurant or a beverage brewing company starting out in Mesa. They specialize in cider. Cider Corp, and it's called Corp instead of Core because one of the founders is a former Purple Heart Marine.
And actually good friends of mine.
Cool. No kidding.
Yeah.
Oh, small world. Well, what they're doing is not only have they found a niche and they're getting quite a presence across the state, but they're now become an incubator for other restaurants inside. So Mike's Pizza mm-hmm. and then the new coffee shop that's opening. I just want to grab the name real quick. Paid Cupworks. And so they're helping others who kind of compete because they're going after the consumer dollar, but the reality is they're floating all the boats, mm-hmm. and they've created a restaurant incubator. And then we're sitting right here as another example at Mac 6. Down the street, they have an incubator for manufacturing where 10 companies are all working together to build a better business individually and yet together. So I think in the services space, people ought to be thinking, how can I partner with other people? How can I find other things I could bring in the door? If I'm a retail clothing store, Friday evenings, I'd have a musician sitting in the near the front door, acoustic guitar, maybe an up-and-coming one, give somebody a break, and people are going to pay attention. They're going to say, that feels a little warmer than my typical clothing store. So there's 100 different things a brick-and-mortar could do to compete, to promote their service, and to be different than somebody else, and certainly to compete online.
Wow, that was a lot of nuggets that, as a micro, I never even thought of. Mm. And there's the rub, too. Micro and small businesses, which is defined under 50 people, often don't know the first thing to do to market themselves. And at the same time, likely, don't have the budget to pay a professional. Address that. Where do they go when the money they have is already spent in three different directions? Prioritize. What's the priority?
I'll start and I'll turn over to Mike on this one, but this is where I'm so passionate about, and this is a blatant promotion for
Please
Hound.
Do.
I met the CEO 11 months ago. He contacted me through LinkedIn. I can't believe I'd never heard of the company because I've been so passionate about what they're doing. But the whole idea of software as a service, that's what most software is today, where you have to buy the software, learn the software, then use the software, becomes really problematic if you're trying to add, oh, by the way, become a marketing expert, and you're already working 60 hours a week on your business. What Hound has done is totally flipped that, so it's software with a service. You say, I'm going to work with Hound, and by the way, the base price on a monthly basis is $0, and I want these kind of promotions to go, so you just kind of give parameters, 5, 10 minutes, and then the system and our experts in-house will run the marketing for you. Do we take over your entire marketing budget? Absolutely not. Keep doing what you're always doing, but does it bring incremental marketing, incremental foot traffic, and incremental people in the door without you having to become a software and a marketing expert and spending tens of thousands of dollars a year to do it? Absolutely. So I think we're at the forefront. There'll be other companies who probably copy and follow us on the path, and we encourage that. It's capitalism, beautiful. Hmm. But I think what we're trying to help companies do is avoid to become experts at things they really shouldn't become experts at.
Bingo.
Yeah.
That is such a pain point in the small mom and pop.
Mm-hmm.
That's excellent. Say that again.
Help people avoid becoming experts at things they don't need to become experts at.
Okay.
Yeah.
That hits hard with a lot of people who mm-hmm. have a problem letting go of control. So if you run a business and you want to have your hands in everything, this is a good step. Hound is a good step.
That's a great point, because you really can just sign up and then forget about it to some degree. We'll have a dashboard that shows you how much revenue is happening every single day. There's a few things you need to do when a consumer walks in with a promotion or coupon to actually say, yes, you're authorized to get this. But the reality is it'll be there in the background. So even those who are the big control people, really, there's nothing they can do to get involved too much with it. It's just going to happen. And they'll have an extra $1,000, $2,000, $5,000 a month just walk in the door. That'll probably loosen up their attitude about too much control.
Wow, yes. Now, speaking of money, are we going to speak of money, or will they go visit your website and learn all that information?
Yeah, well, I can speak to that a little bit. We really, when we crafted the idea of Hound and what it is that we're trying to do, as because we all come out, when I say we, just the executive team at Hound, we all come out of small business families, right? Mm-hmm. We're all small business owners either in the past and come from families that are as well. The issue that we really saw was that in the marketplace, there's lots of different tools, right? Things that you can sign up for and you can tempt. Like Eric's saying, like you can sign up for Constant Contact, but then you have to become a copywriter, right? Or say you even sign up for just advertising on Yelp, right? But it's difficult to track ROI. It's hard to know what it's actually doing for you. You're wondering, is the company really working for me? Are they really working right? You never really know. And you do these things not always because you think it's the best thing, but because you're not really sure what else to do. But you know you need to do something, right? So what happens is you just start trying kind of different tools. And what you end up paying for is effort, right, on their part. You're either paying for them to try their best to send you business, or you end up buying yourself a tool. And now you have another job, right? So now, and you're already, to Eric's point, you're already wearing so many different hats. Is that really helpful? When really what we believe at the end of the day, most small business owners, brick and mortar business owners want is more foot traffic. You just want more people coming in the door spending. And what hasn't happened up to this point, which we're excited to bring out and kind of bring to the table, is this concept of pay-per-visit pricing. And so what we're doing, it's our patented process where you literally only pay a small set fee depending on what type of business you have. It's a small set fee, and you only pay when somebody comes in and actually spends money in your facility. It's not like a portion of your revenue share. You're not sharing revenue or doing anything like that. It's just a set, preset, agreed price where we say, listen, if we can walk somebody in your door and they spend money, knowing what your average sale is and what your margins are, you can afford this small amount, and you only have to pay it when it works. So versus pretty much every other marketing platform that's ever existed has been, hey, pay us this much money up front, and typically you're going to hopefully get this.
Typically. Hope.
And you're going to hope, right? Or qualifiers. It's not trackable, right? So maybe you're sending out newsletters to your customers every week right now. And you got to ask yourself the question, well, what is it doing for? How do I know if it's working? How do you know if it's going well? Do you know if it's going well? Right? Is the best option you have for tracking that? Maybe somebody prints out a coupon and walks it in the front door. Maybe it was gets stuck under a drawer, right? How do you determine whether or not those efforts, not to mention just the money you're spending up front on a tool, but the time it takes for you to go ahead and use that tool, the expertise you have to acquire to do it well, and then even on the back end, it's not super trackable, right? And sorry, the point here is not to pick on Constant Contact, but that's just the reality of most marketing tools that are out there today. Is you're really living on hope and a prayer, is to hopefully it's going to convert and be profitable for you.
Can you walk through the step, the process step by step, so people have an idea?
Of signing up for Hound.
Signing up, what happens?
Yeah, so you can go to hound.com. And of course, we're a software startup, so there's a W in there. We can't spell it normal. That's table stakes if you're a software. Yeah, so it's HOWND.com, hound.com. You can actually go to Hound, and within as little as 5 minutes, you can actually just create a promotion within the system. And then you can upload your customer list. So we're going to help you market back to your existing customers as well. And then we're also going to distribute that on your behalf. But you put it, you set it, you forget it. And again, you only have to pay something if somebody walks in the door spending money with your business, and you always know what that's going to be. So it's a controlled cost.
There's an issue. Biggest issue we have is it sounds too good to be true. I'm skeptical. Does it really only take 5 minutes? I actually had that point point blank to me by a large restaurant association who's not in this state. They're about to become a partner, but they said, you solve the number one problem for our restaurants, foot traffic, but I don't believe you. So we went back, I scrubbed through the plan, I showed them all the details, there's no contract, The 5 minutes can happen if you use our base no-cost product. It may take 10 minutes if you actually want to put more aggressive promotions in place and coupons, which many of our clients are doing. Mm-hmm. But in the end, you've got an expert on the phone talking you through it. When you go away, they continue to work on your product as if it's theirs and the promotions. So it's the real deal. Biggest problem is it just sounds too good to be true. But Brandon and Mike and team, I had nothing to do with the design, but I was blown away at how they really thought from a merchant's perspective, how do we make it incredibly frictionless to use this at the same time, still giving great value to consumers out there. So the merchant is our partner, is our customer. The consumer benefits from it. But if you have that attitude versus the Groupons and Yelps of the world, it changes the game entirely.
And I think Eric touched on something really important there, which is...
Besides your knee.
What's that?
Besides your knee.
Yes.
Touch his knee.
That's okay. I think you touched on something really important there, though, which is the fact that in order for a system like this to work, it has to be mutually beneficial for both consumers and for merchants. Yeah. And the problem with most tools that have ever been built up to this point is they're heavily slanted towards the consumer. So take Groupon, for instance. Like typically, like if you walk into Groupon today, you're going to have to at least do a 50% discount on whatever it is that you're offering. Plus, you're going to start out by giving up 50% of your revenue after that. And that's great-ish for a consumer because they got a really smoking deal. The problem is, though, even from the consumer side, they walk in. If you've ever used a Groupon before, you walk in with a Groupon, you don't typically feel good about it. Right? Because you know that it's not super great. The business owner, they see you using it. And even though it's their promotion, they don't feel great about taking it. It's like, wait a minute, what's happening? Who is this benefiting? If the business doesn't want to take it and the consumer feels weird about using it, it seems like Groupon's the only one who's coming up good in this situation. So, and that's one thing that we're really, really passionate about is it has to be mutually sustainable for consumers and for businesses. It has to work for both. Is if it works for both, then it can last long term, right? It's something that can actually go and it's sustainable. That's what's going to build small businesses. That's what ends up building communities. That's what creates jobs. That's what does what we're trying to do here in Phoenix. So that's, I think, why we're so passionate about making that actually a sustainable, usable system for the long term.
That's huge. That's huge. One point about Groupon that confuses me is it says right there in their fine print, customers can buy... Existing clients can buy another one in 6 months because, and I pointedly asked, I said, this person is already a client of mine. Well, our policy is if they haven't been to you in 6 months and they're not really your client. And I so wanted to say, where's that arbitrary time where that client who's been to me is no longer my client? I have many clients whose hair doesn't grow back as fast anymore. They only need to come twice a year. If I were to see a Groupon from them twice a year, every year, I'd be out of business.
Out of business, right.
So this is my pet peeve with a lot of these coupon companies that you're terrified as a small business to miss out on the potential. But that potential gets twisted when you read all this stuff and you think, okay, I have to comply with that because then I won't be represented on this platform. Mm-hmm. The point where a small business can pull that plug, which I did yesterday.
We're in a coupon-free zone here.
We are.
Did you rip it off?
I ripped it off, and it felt good, and all my hair came off, too. I love Groupon for what it does, and it hits that pavement for me.
And it does drive customers in the door.
And it does.
It does.
And they're one of the ones who also show very unrelated, hey, look at this one. You're looking for a basketball and here's my waxing thing.
Yeah.
And I wanted to do that. Stop.
You said the naked baseballs. Truth. All right, got it.
Baseballs. Basketballs would worry me. Double the appointment time. Okay, see, you started it.
I did.
This is taking a turn.
This is Mike's voice.
This is a fun thing, and she even snorted now. So thank you, Groupon, for helping me get to where I am. But it doesn't work for me anymore. And people, please get strong, people, and trust your intuition. You can do it once you've got a really good base. Start with Hound. Check something different than what all the rest of us sheeple are doing.
Yeah, I like that term, sheeple. Well, the beauty, I can also say this as the relative newcomer and outsider, they really did design this with incredible passion. And our entire mission is about helping business owners succeed, which there's a few companies in town who have a similar mission. And I worked for one of them for a while, and great product and great service, but it also came with a consultant. That was kind of a tough pill for a lot of people to swallow. So I love that they've really gone over the top. You know, we're an unconscious, conscious company. I'm sitting in the Conscious Capitalism headquarters of Arizona. I am a conscious capitalist. I also committed, by the way, 4 weeks ago, the company is going to come on board as a conscious capitalist. Nice. But it's all about stakeholder mentality. And I think the brilliance of what Mike and Brandon and team designed was they really thought about the consumer. We have to make it very fun and attractive for them, but the community as a whole, as well as the merchants we're dealing with, and even now partnerships. Who else can help us? Who can benefit from helping us help the merchants?
So you're talking conscious capitalism. Please explain that for those who aren't familiar with the term.
I'll circle back to that second. Okay. Let me finish that other point then about Local First Arizona's first company organization like it that I approached when they brought me on board. It's like, this is an organization that understands the pain and the opportunity of small and local business. So they're now partnering with us very closely to communicate out to their member base. Tempe Chamber of Commerce, they're one of the more leading ones when it comes to the proper use of technology. They wouldn't partner with a Groupon for their life, but they actually put their arms around us pretty strongly, and we're now partnering pretty closely with them for their member base. And then the Better Business Bureau, which is really, it's a quiet force out there. Mm-hmm. I think for those of us in the my generation, we grew up
which
with
is
them.
What? No one knows. They can't see you. You're 90, 95?
I'm 90s were some rough years, Eric.
Yeah. No, I mean he's 90 years old.
Almost a Gen Xer.
Wait a minute.
I missed it by 2 years.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm a late boomer.
Mm-hmm.
Nice
try. That
was so much for the comment I made about YouTube and screaming, I guess.
Yeah, yes, yes, yes.
Touche. Anyways, Better Business Bureau, because they're actually quite relevant. They just haven't, they're working on getting their message out a little better, and the organization here in the Southwest is the best in the country. Mm-hmm. But it's really about companies saying, look, I commit by being a Better Business Bureau accredited organization to do business this way. So where I think conscious capitalism really comes into play is that it's a creed, it's a framework for doing business that profits are a byproduct of the work you do. It's actually a focus on all the stakeholders. It's a focus on a conscious culture, on conscious leadership. And it's a better way, quite frankly, to promote and do capitalism. If you're thinking about, okay, if I do this, but it's really going to kind of screw over our members or our partners or our consumers, I really got to question what I'm going to do. That's a far better way for doing business to do business than saying, yeah, but we can make more money. And so I was very impressed in how much Hound, and if our investors are listening, I apologize, but probably are, quote, leaving money on the table. But what they're doing is building a far, far bigger ecosystem for millions of businesses to use it because we've made it so friction-free, inexpensive, and risk-free to give it a try. So that's a very conscious approach to doing business.
Yeah, it is. The foundation of any business is not looking for the money immediately, but also this is huge for small business, getting that return. What are we doing, first of all, to get that person in the door? So we've used some sort of platform to help get the word out. Mm-hmm. And then they come in, and some of my competitors are very heavy product oriented. And some of the processes they use, some techniques, create a problem with which they have a product for. So it's an interesting business format that is certainly not client-centric.
Right.
So is that what you're speaking to?
That's one great example, yeah. It's also, look at Pastino. I think they're a great example of, or Upward Projects is the overarching restaurant organization. They're now expanding into Texas and to Denver. They love them up in Denver. They really treat their employees quite well. It's an expensive thing to do. They have great leadership there. They're growing in ways that they never could have 10 years ago because they also have the right culture in place. A really inspired group of employees work there, and you always feel kind of warm and friendly when you're there. That's hard to do. You really have to focus on it. It's especially hard if profits were your motive. You probably wouldn't treat people the same way. So as a result, Lauren Bailey, who's the really inspiration behind the whole organization, she has some of the most loyal employees you'll ever see, and they'll stay around for years in an organization that normally sees, or an industry that sees 50 to 100% turnover a year. And it's a mindset. And as a result, I bet you there you'll find they're a fairly profitable restaurant organization as a byproduct of the great work she does.
This is not rocket science. Why is this such a pushback idea to be human? I guess that is just to be a compassionate, impassioned, engaged. All those words are kind of scary.
Well, I don't think it is when you say a pushback idea. Certainly when I discuss being a conscious company with organizations, I get a lot of positives. I think the biggest challenge is people have taken the word capitalism and have bastardized it in its use.
Yes.
And those are the people you absolutely should say, hey, that's not the right way to run a business. It doesn't mean capitalism's bad. Capitalism's an incredible framework for helping lift people out of poverty, for helping people find their passion and the products or services they should offer. There's nothing like it. It's your abuse of it that's the issue. So conscious capitalism is more framework that's been around for about a decade. It's really getting some significant momentum. And I think it allows for people like ourselves and certainly for generations far younger than I to say, you know what, I'm going to stop fighting about capitalism being the issue. I'm going to fight about cronyism and bad ideas and people who are tilting the system in their favor. And D.C. is unfortunately one of the worst purveyors of that kind of tilting that shouldn't exist.
That's just for clarity. That's what I was saying, the pushback. Mm. The cronyism gives the pushback to the warm fuzzies is what I see them looking at it. Oh, we have to all play nice. That's not what capitalism is. But it is. There's no limit to how good it can be. There is a limit to how, what did you say? Bastardized?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep.
That's a good word for it. So you are leading the charge on two counts with Hound and with conscious capitalism, and you're bringing them together.
Yes. And we have thousands of customers today. We'll have tens of thousands, if not millions, in the next few years. I don't think this is a message that's going to get buried in that either. So,
oh, no.
Yeah.
Right.
And then, and honestly, Mike and Brandon are leading by example, which is the best way. Speak softly. Do the right thing, and people will start to catch on that that's a far better way to run a business.
And then give yourself interesting titles. So
interesting titles are absolutely key. Yeah.
Well, go ahead. Explain.
Well, so which the chief branding officer?
There are two or three, I understand.
Yeah. So previously, I actually just recently took over as our chief branding officer about a month ago. And prior to that, I was our SVP and chief evangelist.
Yes.
So evangelist is a title you're actually seeing more and more, especially in the SaaS world and in other companies now. Although I focus on our brand, right, and our messaging and what is it we communicate, how do we resonate in the minds of our consumers, in the minds of our merchants, what does our culture speak to that, how does it affect the day-to-day business, as an evangelist, it's really going and doing this, right? It's spreading the good news that there is a better way to go about doing this. There is a solution out there. It's bringing light to the problems where of the things that some of these other tools that we've spoken about have caused, right? But then also point to the fact that there's a better way, that there's a solution, that there's something. And that's really what the role, I think, of an evangelist is. Mm-hmm. I just happen to be also a very excited person. I love what we do. Like, mm-hmm. I love our business. So I do it already anyway. So I think it was kind of a natural fit.
You're a message giver.
That's exactly right. Just spreading the good news of Hound. Yep.
So those who might think you guys are green and a little wet behind the ears in the industry— you've had successes and you've had a lot of failures, Eric. Mm-hmm. You wanna give us your cred?
Great. I'll start with the failures. Thank you for that setup. Well, and I want to say first off, Hound itself is 1 month old with 3 years of pedigree, and there's so many puns in there. It's ridiculous. Mm-hmm. Pedigree Hound.
Okay. I see what you did there.
We were around there 3 years ago as FetchRev, and in fact, Brandon was originally in even before that, set up to shut down the company. But he kept saying there's a far bigger golden nugget here than you're paying attention to. So he went back to the investors, said, let's keep this running. They made him CEO. And for 3 years, they've got 1,200 customers around the country, actually North America primarily, but also in around the world, 40% market share in the family entertainment space. That we're now branching out to restaurants and health and beauty. In fact, our whole motto is now we're focused on brick and mortar organizations in fun, yum, and zen. Mm-hmm. So I'll let you kind of dwell on that one a little. So as far as myself, I did a little work. I was actually the first American hired locally in Europe by Intel Corp. The irony is I came out of college. There's two things I did not want to do in my life was sales or computers. And I got stuck doing both.
Yeah, you did.
And I'm a marketing guy, not a sales guy. I'm a business development expert, not really a salesperson. They are far better at I doing the day-to-day work. But I was fortunate that Intel tossed me a couple huge opportunities. I got lucky. Right team, right place. Launched a product for them. Did a lot of channel marketing with them. And even got voted most European one year, which was kind of cool.
I
was surrounded, though. I was working with people from 14, 15 different countries every single day. My favorite, I'm going to segue on this a little bit. I actually came up with my team came up with a program called Campeones Champion. And we did it as a distribution competition. And part of the goal was to get business up. And then we would send a bunch of people to Cancun at the time, which was a very hot spot for Europeans. But we also had to go around all of Europe with it was terrible. I probably wouldn't do this today, but with huge hats and mustaches and took everybody out to every Mexican restaurant we can find. I can tell you where some of the worst Mexican food you will ever eat in Austria and in Zurich. It was a high end restaurant, so it was very embarrassing when we pulled out the mustaches and the hats, but we had a great time with it. So I then got a chance to launch a product for them with a $20-something million of advertising behind me. It was kind of fun. I was also an evangelist, similar to Mike, in Silicon Valley for a couple of years, promoting the consumer web for Intel. But then fast forward, I did a product 9 years ago called Diner's Passport. I still have a lot of passion for. It was the world's first frequent diners program for anywhere you dine out. So between that and the company I'd launched prior, Schwag, where I gave away a lot of stuff, including almost my kids' college education.
Oh.
I got a great network in town. I also learned a lot about the difficulties of restaurants, in particular in small business. Fast forward, I get a call from Brandon Wiley, the CEO of Now Hound, in January, and thought, oh my gosh, this is the most connected and in-line company compared to what I'd been trying to do, except they've got a better CEO than I was and far better product and idea than I had than Diner's Passport. So my business failed. I had to shut it down, ran out of money, and I couldn't get enough traction going and couldn't get any funding in the door, but the concept was correct. And then I come to Hound, and they've not only made it far better, far more scalable. So yeah, some startups that didn't make it, but taught me a lot. Kind of like an MBA on steroids, and a little bit of success with Intel Corp.
So now you found your niche in this company.
Yeah.
That was your pedigree, to speak, before you came to Hound, was to experience the education of the failure.
Yeah.
And failure is such a horrible word. We get to think of something else that just means this didn't work. The next thing is going to be better.
Yeah.
You know, people look at a failure and their life stops.
I learned, pardon the expression, a shitload. And I also learned about partnerships too. So my role with Hound is to bring in partners that are where it's highly mutually beneficial and they're on common missions. So I love doing that. Absolutely found my space.
Speaking of which, would you like to share a failure with us, Mike?
Oh, man. How much time do you have?
Oh, 30 seconds?
Perfect. <No. laughs> Yeah, so I grew up in the world of small business, and I've had different – I'm an Arizona native, so born and raised, grew up in Tempe. I have started a couple of businesses here. I've sold a couple. I've lost my butt on a couple, and I've been around, but that's where I think where we kind of get our passion from is I've been on that side, and I know how frustrating it is when you're like, okay, I know I have a good product. Like, I know that we deliver. We do what we say we're going to do. But I don't really know how to go out and get people to come see me, right? Like, how do I get more people just coming through the door? Because I know what I bring to the table is good. I also know that there's a lot of other small businesses out there that aren't doing it very well, and somehow they're thriving,
yes.
Right? And so I've seen that perspective and I felt that burn. And although Hound is new, we have existed previous to this as Fetrev since 2016. And since then, we've generated just under $63 million in direct purchase revenue for our customers. So although we are new to Hound and we've created this new way of doing it, we are certainly not new to the world of small business and generating foot traffic for small businesses. So this is something that we have been doing. The pivot to Hound was a change, the rebrand that we went through was really a pivot towards this new concept of we were one of those tools. Like, so when Fetchra first started, we were a tool that you had to use. And we said, hey, here's the tool. It's this X amount of dollars per month, and you can go in there and use it, right? Well, going into that for a while, what we learned is when we managed the actual tool for our customers, they would get 75% more purchases than when they were trying mm-hmm. to manage it on their own. Mm-hmm. Well, that's because we live and breathe this kind of concept of marketing and promotions and drawing people into the business. So we started managing that. And with Hound, the idea is let's just make this completely effortless foot traffic for our customers. Effortless foot traffic generation, that's what we're after, is how do we make it that simple where somebody can get online and in 5 minutes start driving people back in. But in terms of how we've already been generating money, we've been doing it for a few years. It is tried and true. I think what's new is we're trying to bring this idea of zero risk of only pay when it works, right? Bringing that to our consumers and to our merchants.
You have a really small business feel with a huge corporation reach. That is really, really, really important. My programmer for the scheduling of my clients is a local gentleman. His business is Hummingbook. So many facets of it are different than the big box, what's available online. Micro and small businesses can't generally use those because, say, for incremental times, most of them are 15 to 20 minutes. And a lot of us have 5 and 10 minute appointments. Hmm. They're made for the larger companies.
Sure.
And so from what I'm hearing from you guys, you are so attentive to not just the small micro, not just the corporations, the franchises, but the people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Semantics, huge. Yeah,
it is. Well, it is. It is about the people in those. Every small business owner, right, is trying to take care of their family, trying to build a business, trying to pursue that kind of American dream. But at the same time, back to the point of kind of the beginning of the show, we're also up against some big behemoths like Amazon. And so as Hound, what I would love to be able to see is we do have the ability to compile that data. Our whole goal is to get your promotions in front of the right person at the right place at the right time, which is what Amazon is doing. Part of the reason why they're so successful is because they can do that. So if we're able to kind of bring a coalition of small businesses together, where now we can give you some of that reach and we can give you some of that ability, because that's what our software does, mm-hmm. That you're able to leverage that, we're going to be a better tool in your pocket to be able to go when you're going against those guys, to be able to compete, be able to drive business back in the door and do it in a way that's really sustainable.
For listeners who aren't quite sure still, clarify, is this a hashtag? Is this geofencing? What can you say is something that would be familiar to them?
In terms of how our services work,
yeah.
So I mean, just the real basic is you can go online, you can create a promotion if you would like. We don't require discounting. Like, that's one big thing. We don't require you to slash your discounts 50%. You actually get to drive what that is based on your margins and what's appropriate for you. And we're going to help you distribute those through a number of different channels, through email, through social media, through your website, as well as through the MyHound app that we have for our consumers. We're going to be distributing those for you. And really getting those offers in front of people, again, that's what we shoot for. And all of your marketing you should really shoot for is how do you get your messages to the right person at the right place at the right time. Mm-hmm. And so that's what we're trying to do. So that's in a nutshell of what is what we're doing. And driving these promotions out to drive consumers back into your doors or into your doors for the first time.
But on the geofencing, right or wrong, we've made a business decision at this point that most businesses, a 5-mile radius around them is the appropriate place to push promotions to. And it's based on where the consumer is opening up the app. So if I'm at home and I open up the app, I'll see 5 miles from there. Mm-hmm. If I'm sitting here today, I'm going to open it up and see what promotions are within 5 miles of me right now. And that's crucial because we also then don't want to have a string of 400 promotions. Mm-hmm. We actually want these, and over time, they're going to get more and more curated. They're also going to get grouped. So I'm just, if I'm going to go get a body waxing,
And you are. Because you said you were.
I did.
And he needs it desperately. So
how would you know that?
Let's keep this professional.
Hey, at my age, my hair, that's true. At my age, my hair just keeps kind of gravity down. But anyways, but after that, I'm going to need a martini. So the ideal thing would be to have.
No alcohol needed. But okay, this is your story.
This is an example. Yeah. My story. So why wouldn't I? And prior to that, I probably mean a little therapy, perhaps.
Oh, you are so in trouble.
Massage therapy. Yeah, that's what I mean. So why wouldn't I also be able to get a promotion that included all three of them together? So this is the whole thing of having complementary businesses working together. And our system's going to do that automatically more and more over time. Now, there's artificial intelligence built into that, but no one needs to be worried about that. It's not going to start a war. It's actually going to just give you better offers. The other thing from our business point of view is if we were a startup, this is a big pill to swallow. Who are you going to bring in the door? Well, it turns out because the team has already been doing this for 3 years, we have just about 40 million consumers, mostly in North America.
I think already. We're close to 43.
43. Yeah, yeah. So we're getting 20,000 a day coming into the network. These are adults, verified emails, who will, as they start to get new promotions, be moved over to the MyHound app to actually activate the promotion. So the geofencing also comes into play, mm-hmm. not just on who we promote to, but they have to be in your facility to activate the promotion. Mm. So this isn't a sit outside your door, hey, I think I'm going to go waxing, let me look for the best Groupon. We're the antithesis of that. You've had to make a decision ahead of time. And then walk in the door with that promotion. If I'm already showing up at your door and I'm planning to do business with you, so to speak, then I shouldn't be given the right to get an additional 25% discount just because Groupon had something sitting out there.
That's what people are trying to do. Find the business and then go get a Groupon.
Yeah, yes. And they might be sitting outside the door. We actually had a story of that 6 weeks ago with our CEO.
Really?
His wife was looking for a discount for the mini golf they're about to go to. He says, no, that's not the concept. We're here. No, Groupon didn't bring us here. We came here on our own. Giving a discount to us now, that's immoral. So
that's a really good nugget for people to hear out there. Groupon is really great. It really is. Again, I don't want to smash them.
Nope.
But using them properly.
Properly. Absolutely agree.
And then what it also does is this 6-month return purchase puts the small business owner or whichever business it is on the defensive to explain to clients who are still clients why it's not okay for them to come every time with a Groupon. It puts the business owner in such a bad position. Mm-hmm. You don't ever want to have to butt heads with a client over money. You're there to provide the service. They liked your service. They're coming back for it. Doesn't matter when. They're still a client. And that's where I parted ways with them because that was such a huge thing. And so many people are losing money. So I really appreciate the way you guys have tweaked this in this direction. Is there anything else you'd like to add?
No, I think that's it. I mean, to your point, I think it's about sustainability. It's about creating a network of businesses that are kind of working together, lifting each other up, working together to be able to kind of build this network and be able to support each other in that way. To your point, if we are still small, we are still growing. We're growing very, very quickly now, which is super exciting. But what's really great is even if we say you sign up for Hound and we send you one customer in the door, because you don't pay anything for the Hound platform, you're still profitable, right? It's you know that you're going to have a solid return on investment, and that's what we're really excited about. The reality is we're going to do a lot better than that. We drive thousands of purchases every single day. But the reality is you can try it. You can kind of kick the tires, and with really no risk to yourself. You're not putting anything out there to jeopardize your business or your profit margins or any of that. And that's what we just want to be the best friend your business has. That's what we're trying to do.
It sounds absolutely perfect. Eric?
For me, for the retail, particularly brick and mortars, just because that's what we're focused on, but that doesn't exclude service organizations, of course. Step outside your box. Take a look around what other people are doing in other industries and start to think, how could I apply that to my own business? I think there's tons of space, even in the fashion industry, which is really under brutal attack from the Amazons of the world. Tons of space to innovate locally, better service, being kind and warm when you walk in the door. In my description about Pastino, why I love going there. Music, adding other partnering with other organizations. You know, for example, downtown Scottsdale does the art walk every Thursday. Well, you're actually working with your competitors, but to build a better local marketplace for everybody. So I'm hoping we maybe sometime in the near future might come on again and ask you if we can just do a brainstorm out loud session with a couple of retailers in the room.
Love that.
Where they ask us ideas and we come back with, here's the kind of things you might want to think about doing.
Absolutely.
But they can do it today on their own. So just be thinking out of the box. It's not about spending money. It's really about spending a little mental effort on what can help you differentiate yourself from both online and competitors, the Walmarts of the world. And then, of course, in the background, Hound could be running and bringing an extra 10 to 50 people a week for you anyway. So,
real quickly before we go, can you just expound a little bit on embracing your competitor figuratively?
Well,
you try to outdo your competitor. That's not what the agenda is with a small business. You just focus on what you do and you do it best.
Correct.
Right?
Correct. I mean, consumers only have so much time and dollars to spend with you. If they're going to walk next door and spend money, that's money that was really probably not yours in the first place. And I think this whole idea of, you know, an example is a clustering of restaurants. Just because a restaurant is next door to you doesn't mean they're taking money out of your pocket. In fact, you'll probably find that most restaurants thrive and do far better when there's 3, 4, or 5 in a particular area. Is that embracing your competitor? I think so. Going right next door to them, are you both going to potentially win more because of it? I think so. And in fact, I'll go back to the Upward Projects group. They have Churn, Windsor, Joyride Taco, Federal Pizza, and Pastino. Oh, this is in Phoenix, for those of you outside, all in one small area. And as a result, the whole area has become a really magnet for consumers to go to and hang out much longer. So from that point, you're trying to create a fun congregation of consumers who come and stay in the area much longer. So that's why embracing a competitor, I think, works.
Were any of those you mentioned the same type of food? They all had their own.
They're all food and they're all restaurants. You're right. They're unique and different foods.
Okay.
Yeah,
so
good point.
A lot of strip malls, when a big corporation of a certain, say, waxing service first takes possession of a lease in a complex, they have a no compete. So they're keeping out. So that's old. Isn't that old school?
I think it is.
Okay.
Starbucks has the same thing. And I personally like Starbucks. I think they've done a phenomenal job considering how big an organization they are. And I hate it when you go to, I won't say which one, but a local coffee shop that says, yeah, we can't serve lattes because Starbucks is in the Safeway. I think that's ridiculous. But let me flip that around. Starbucks themselves have spawned tens of thousands of small business owners into their own coffee shop. So it's kind of an interesting win-win and all that. So, but yeah, that's old school, but it's going to be done because many of those folks who are writing those leases are still old school too.
Yes, yes, yes. We're going to have, when we finally drop off the planet, we boomers and maybe the top of the next ones, this is going to be a different world.
Yep.
Hopefully.
Yep.
And you're setting the stage for that.
We hope so. Thank you.
So now with that, please let everybody know how they can reach you guys.
Yeah, I mean, I'm as simple as mike@hound.com. Again, we spell it silly, so it's H-O-W-N-D, but mike@hound.com. If you have any questions, or even if you're just a small business owner and you want to talk shop and any of the tips and stuff that Eric and I know Eric's the same way, you can reach out to him at any point. We love what we do. I love marketing. I love branding. We love the small business owner. So anything we can do to help, reach out.
And I'm Eric with a C, E-R-I-C, at hound.com. I'm also, my last name is kind of complicated, Kioski-Smith. But if you're a restaurant owner in particular, find me on LinkedIn. I'll connect with you. And I've just posted an article today about kind of some of the nasty stuff Grubhub and Yelp have just done to your business. So I won't go into in detail here, but find me on LinkedIn and take a peek at the article and tell me what you think.
And you can find out how to spell everything when we release this show. Thanks for joining me today on The Naked Truth. I'm Lori Corrigan, and it's also sponsored by Snake Charmer Men's Body Waxing. This is a show all about nakedness, spiritual, emotional, mental, where I pay tribute to the valuable contributions you gentlemen make both personally and professionally. It's a safe zone for you guys to speak your minds amidst the current social climate where you struggle to be heard. Until next time.